It's 8:01. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, March 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. The town of Ridgeway has some good news for its taxpayers. They recently received a Department of Local Affairs grant for $500,000. The money is going towards Ridgeway's contribution to the downtown investment project. It's an idea that's been worked with for over a decade. The town is looking to repair and pave roads, add sidewalks, benches, decorative lighting, landscaping, a big overhaul to the main drag and the downtown section. But as town manager Jen Coates explains, it was an expensive plan.
So we applied for a $10.5 million grant to do improvements to State Highway 62 and our downtown historic business district, and it was awarded. We committed $2 million as a match to that project and went to the ballot in April of 2014 to bond for up to $1.9 million and to finance the streetscape project with a property tax increase, and it passed by 76%.
So the $2 million is being paid through new property taxes. However, this DOLA grant they just received will lower those taxes.
Significantly lower. I think it decreased it, the amount that the taxpayer would need to pay by about 40%.
Coates says that they're optimistically hoping to complete the streetscape by the end of 2016. A bill to expand the Colorado Cottage Foods Act is scheduled to get its first hearing tomorrow. KVNF's Laura Palmisano speaks to Democratic Representative Millie Hamner about the act and the expansion bill she's co-sponsoring.
Millie, you were one of the lawmakers who helped pass the Cottage Foods Act. Can you tell me what it is?
It's a structure that allows people to prepare foods in their kitchens and sell them either out of their kitchen or at farmers markets. This is a really growing industry. It's very popular among small kitchen producers as well as consumers who really have an appetite for freshly made products.
What originally inspired the Cottage Foods Act?
Well, I've been involved with it for the last several years. I joined forces with Senator Gail Schwartz initially to make sure that we had some kind of procedure in place in state statute that allowed for this kind of process. To me, it's really especially important for my constituents in Delta County, where agriculture is so important. And I've got a lot of constituents there who make fantastic breads and products. And then through the rest of my district, farmers markets are just growing in popularity. And so I think this is just a real win-win for producers and consumers.
Right now, you're one of the sponsors on House Bill 1102, which seeks to broaden the act. Tell me what that bill would do.
This year's bill expands what's allowable to be produced and for sale to include more bread products and also pickled products. So because we're expanding into the pickled products, we're running into some concerns about making sure that whatever is produced meets health standards. I expect that it'll do very well in the committee on Tuesday, but because of some of the increased standards for the local and state health departments to make sure that whatever's produced doesn't make people sick, we might end up with what's called a fiscal note that drives some cost of implementing the program. So we might run into some concerns as we vie for limited resources in the state budget in order to implement the program when the bill goes to the Appropriations Committee.
That was KVNF's Laura Palmisano speaking to Representative Millie Hamner of House District 61. Libraries contain a plethora of information, but as KVNF's Jake Ryan explains, a few Western Slope libraries will soon be focusing on investing.
The Montrose Regional Library District just got a grant to help develop financial literacy in the area. Amy McBride, the development officer for the district, says that there aren't a lot of programs that help educate people about saving and investing. They won the $95,000 grant after identifying three groups of people that need help.
The first was low-income senior citizens. The second was Spanish speakers. And then the third was students at Passage Charter School here in Montrose, which is a school for pregnant and parenting teens. So we came up with a plan to provide classes in all aspects of financial literacy to those three populations.
It's not just helping these groups achieve economic independence or equal opportunity in investing. One of the big drivers of the program is protecting people from scams.
in our research of talking to social service providers, they said that the Spanish-speaking community is targeted for scams because they're unfamiliar with the systems in our country, and people will come and tell them that they need to pay a certain amount of money to them or they'll go to jail. And we heard a lot of horror stories about people being preyed on. And then we also heard similar stories of senior citizens being preyed on by scam artists.
McBride is planning on starting the program, which will include classes and guest speakers, in the fall. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
State lawmakers are midway through the annual legislative session. As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland discusses some of the bills legislators will tackle in the latter half of the session.
Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel join us today. Thanks for being here. Charles, one topic that does have some bipartisan support is this idea of providing workforce training around the state and workforce development. We've got lawmakers in both parties that are trying to push that as a major theme in this second half of the session.
Right. And like the law enforcement stuff, we're getting to the second half of the session and the lawmakers are basically looking for something to say at the end of the session that we did. And so that's a big thing. The workforce development and economic development issues that they're talking about is the other big piece that we're going to see in the next half of the session. And so they're looking at things like helping college students have lower debts in going to school. They're looking at promoting programs that allow people to get vocational training rather than necessarily a full 4 years of college with a degree, and teaching them more technical issues or technical jobs that they can get. They're looking at other things that help kind of extend the economic prosperity that the Front Range has seen to other parts of the state that are still lagging behind.
And Democrats are also introducing legislation that would ban the use of chokeholds and also prohibit police from confiscating recording device, like, you know, when people use their phones to record interactions with police. It would outline that police can't take away your recording device unless they have a warrant or permission from the owner of the video.
And to get back to your question about whether or not these are going to get passage and bipartisan support, they had a drone bill to restrict how law enforcement can use drones, which is, you know, very controversial among a lot of people, and it didn't go through, and it failed. So the other bill that they're talking about is a DUI felony bill that, you know, they've talked about for many years, and it may or may not pass, so we don't know.
Definitely lots to cover in the next few weeks. Thanks. That was Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Capital coverage is supported by KBUT and the town of Mount Crested Butte's Soul Train Night, annual dance party and celebration of funk and soul, Friday, March 27th in Crested Butte. Costumes encouraged. Tickets and more at kbut.org.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.